Grocery store. I never say my full bank PIN in my head as I punch it in, just in case there's someone nearby listening into my thoughts. I'm right to distrust, aren't I? You okay, honey? You don't seem quite yourself. It was true. My smile felt strange, like I couldn't quite figure out the mechanics involved. We were standing in the freezer section of Bill's Grocery at the top of our street. Fish eyes glared through plastic packaging and old crystallized ice in the freezer beside us. I felt sure that the world was going to cave in on itself in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 seconds, so I decided to say it out loud, just for the first time. Dayon and I broke up. Oh, Shiji. I'm so sorry. Marlene made a clucking sound, her hands twisting in front of her. I could tell her, because she didn't really matter. She was already inching away, eager to tell Frank the latest about our chance encounter. I'm not okay. I felt rebellious just saying it. We noticed you weren't coming and going quite so much, and haven't seen him around either. So Frank and I wondered. You know how we like to sit out on the front porch and get some air. Can't go all that far these days, what with Frank's feet. I didn't want to hear about Frank's feet. I wrapped my arms around myself, my hands clasping my bare arms. I won't think hateful thoughts about him, because that invites dark spirits inside me. But then I also try not to love. Love is an absence of choice. I turned desperate. Took a deep breath. Desperate to make him happy, desperate to tie him to me, leaving no room for questions like, is this wise? Are we good together? Might someone else be better? Maybe it is a deal breaker, the way he picks his teeth at the table, thinks he's cute when he finishes my chocolate like some errant child that I can mother and shake my head at indulgently. I am not his mother. Huh, Marlene said, sneaking a look at her watch. After 4 days in a house devoid of oxygen, my skin was now alive with goosebumps running up and down my arms. Seems to me, dear, that what you need is a vacation and to go to church. You'll find the answers there, I'm sure. I know it's a comfort to me when my mind's in a whirl. She was preparing to push her shopping cart on to the dairy section, leaving me alone under the flickering fluorescent light. "Do you ever think about these things?" I grab her arm tightly. "That it could be so easy to love, except that it would become dangerous? It's like being open, like air on air. Do you see the danger?" "Well, I really love you right now, Marlene." Marlene's hands twisted tighter in front of her. "I get it. We've never had a real conversation before now." "Why not? Why don't we talk about what's really on our minds?" Marlene took my arm and gave it a motherly squeeze, leading us both out of the freezer section and abandoning her cart. I was shaking and just noticed that my feet were drenched. "Better?" I nodded. There was a lump in my throat. "I fear love as much as I fear hate." "Why is that?" I said. "Honey, let's get you home, all right?" She was rifling through her bag and pulled up a tissue. It occurred to me how I must look. My hair was greasy. My clothes were the same yoga pants and purple shirt I'd been wearing for days. My face was overflowing with tears that I hadn't noticed until now. Flowing like it was being pumped from an unending source. It soaked my shirt and soaked down to my feet, bare in the old flip-flops that I wear around the house. Why was I talking to Marlene about love and hate? About my barely acknowledged fears around mind reading and PIN numbers. My muscles shook, and tears flowed fast. They were creating deep rivulets in the aisles. Somewhere, a baby was crying. Other urgent conversations floated down the aisles now. Marlene stepped down over the newest puddle that my tears had created and helped me over it as well. We watched as my tears became a veritable river, the newest puddle connected with the larger rivers forming down the freezer aisle. I could barely stand under the weight of the water still in me, and Marlene held tight to my arm. So much water, and still, it continued to fall. Marlene's grasp on my arm became frantic. The supermarket no longer had simple rivulets in each aisle from my tears. There was a river, a roaring river, and pandemonium was breaking out. I had been right. The world was falling in on itself in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I welcomed it. I thought I saw the dead stare of the frozen fish float by, but was lost under a wave, and the tears kept flowing. It's okay. I sent the thought message over to Marlene, helped her to float on her back, her short dyed red hair darkening in the water. Just relax, I thought at her. I wanted to wipe the fear from her face. I wanted to let her know that this was our world, what it really looked like once we got past all the polite talk of the weather. And this same river, quickly forming into a small lake, was not mine alone. Relax, Marlene. And I willed her to hear my thought. And then she did. She stopped flailing, and her face smoothed over the fear. She looked at me then, really looked. I don't understand, I thought I heard her think. This is what I was scared of and now no longer fear. I smiled through the waves. This is love.